Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Do
No matter what the problem is, let Jesus fix it for you. Let Jesus fix it for you. For he knows just what to do. Just kneel and pray and let him have his way. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the problem is, let Jesus fix it for you.
Amen. One more time.
Let Jesus fix it for you. For he knows just what to do. Just kneel and pray and let him have his way. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the problem is.
Hallelujah. Philippians 4, kind of right along with today. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, beginning of verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. You may be seated. I'm reading this today with a little, I might have said this before, some of you might have said it as well, but those first four words, I'm hearing it a little bit different today, a little bit more on the offensive than I am the defensive. You know, verse 5 talks about let your moderation be known unto all. Men, the Lord is at hand, and while the word moderation is what it is in our today's definition, it doesn't necessarily mean we're quiet about it. Praise God. It doesn't mean that our moderation is any less demonstrative. Sometimes the moderation of the church is facing Goliath with a stone. Our moderation, our separation from the world is so powerful. Our moderation is so peaceful that it can take charge of a storm. Praise the Lord. I believe today I'm here to say a couple of things to you that I hope will help you if you find yourself in a position of wondering, what type of mindset do I need to be in when all these things are happening in my life? I want to read a couple of more verses before we come back to this verse, but Romans chapter 7, and incidentally, I'm reading verses that talk about you, I hope. Revelation 7. Revelation 7, yes. Romans 7's good too, but Revelation 7. I'll slow it down. Revelation 7. They kind of like that. Slow up the tape player. Revelation 7. And we're going to read, I'll start at verse 9 in the Word of God. Notice we talked about, we said Revelation, not Revelations 7. It's the Revelation. One singular, 22 chapters, all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And whenever you go to your place of prayer, where be anxious for nothing. Let me show you how to deal with this problem. And that's how I want you to hear this today. I want you to hear that when you and I, myself included, when I approach prayer sometimes in a particular mindset, it could be the Lord that does exactly to us what that brother did to Pastor's dad when Brenda was in the hospital stricken with polio. And that elder put his hand on his chest and pushed him back. He was snapping him out of that state of despair, that mindset of my little girl has been captured by polio. Oh, praise the Lord. No, there was a man of God praying out there and felt of the Lord, go visit Marvin Rutledge. Hallelujah. And why did he do that? Because God wanted to put a little punch back into Brother Marvin's spirit. And God wanted to say, wait a minute, be careful for nothing here. Let me show you how to go after polio. Hallelujah. And so what did they do? The story goes they went out and found some people of prayer. Just what we felt here today while praying for Akeem. Instead of accepting defeat. They say, wait a minute, we're a part of a multitude that's written about in Revelation. We're a part of a people who are called by a name that is higher than any name. And that when stuff tries to overtake the people of that name, that people of that name are taught by their mighty God. Don't you accept this. Praise. Don't you get anxious about this. Don't you be careful about this. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You go to prayer. You go to prayer. You go to consistent and fervent and constant and over again prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's how I feel. And that's, I'm trying to remember, I say a couple names I can't remember right now, but that's okay. I'll remember it after church, But that brother, I was just looking him up a few days back, some time ago. But that brother put his hand on Brother Rutledge's chest and pushed him back and said, now, because he hadn't shaved, he was dirty, it had been several days of just agony because Sister Brenda was in the hospital with her eyes rolled back in the 50s, the pandemic of polio, and just had her. And the talk of the machine called the iron lung for the rest of her life. Have any parent in disarray. But God sent that brother. It was God. It was the Holy Ghost that knows how to shake us and say, nah, you're going to pray, but you're not going to pray like this. You're going to pray like this. So they went across town, and during those times of racial tension, as pastors told us so many times, but for the sake of those who have not heard, they crossed the tracks into a side of town that white people didn't go. But they didn't care. They went into an all-black church where the preacher was up there preaching the word of God. And everyone stopped and turned around and looked at these two white dudes wondering what was about to happen. And they said, look, we need prayer. and explained the situation, and that man of God grabbed his Bible, closed it, went on his knees. The whole congregation went on their knees. And it wasn't too long after that, praise God, that a little girl stricken by polio suddenly stood up in the bed and said, "Mom, I want a Coke." I tell you, the conquering victories of God live on from generation to generation. He says, "I am the Lord. That's my name."
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. He's a God that never loses. He's a God that never becomes unmighty, because this world is just one big freak show of sin in your face and arrogance. I tell you what, if we'll in everything by prayer, you're right, Brother Mike, we'll see in it a great revival that's happening right now. And a multitude coming among us that we're just going to have to make some adjustments to accommodate. Hallelujah, but that's okay. I say bring it on. We were created for this. We were groomed for this for 35 years. Bring it on. Hallelujah, the world will always crumble and fall and go into chaos. But if they can meet people of prayer and supplication. A people who have learned in everything, in everything, by prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. In everything, grabbing the bull by the horns. Let me open this back up, stop spitting on it. All right. Revelation 7. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. I love the power of God. And I love his great ability to shake us and to stir us up and to snap us out of a thought process that is careful. I'm not misinterpreting the word careful. I know it means anxious, and all of these meanings are wrapped up into this word, but I'm hearing it with kind of emphasis. You know, it's oftentimes we read the Word of God, we hear preachers read the Word of God, we hear Alexander Skirby read the Word of God. You audio Bible cassette people. That went way over everybody's head. Praise God. But it's another thing if the Lord, it's kind of like a parent at bedtime reading you a bedtime story. You know, you remember those times when they read to you, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, and the boy who cried wolf, and but it's another thing in our time of devotion when it's the Lord that reads the verse. And he kind of like says, "Now this is how it's supposed to be read. This is how it's supposed to be heard. And this is what I want you to hear from this verse." I believe it was David who said that it was the Lord who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And when we go to prayer, we need to learn that there are times in prayer that it's a fight. And that's why we're there. That's why we're there in prayer, because it's a fight. There's a fight going on. And you can't go in the prayer room and get your dukes knocked out. That's not prayer. That's, yeah. All right, let me just go on here. I think these last couple passages will say what I don't have to try to say bumbling around. We were in Revelation 7. I just lost it. Here we go. Revelation 7, verse 9, right? "After this I beheld..." Let me take this off. I'm just fighting that gooseneck here. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude." See, one thing prayer will help you do, it'll help you behold stuff. The right stuff. And not the wrong stuff. There's lots of stuff out there to behold that isn't a great multitude. Praise God. We can talk about all the sinners of the world in our world today, and all the creepy people and the stuff we used to be. And we can get fed up with that. We can get so overcharged with what we're seeing that we feel like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, who the scripture says vexed his righteous soul with the conversation of the wicked. But if I can ever get my eyes onto that great multitude. See what happened today? A child of God and somebody reaching for God and trying to pastor people. And he came in here today, and what happened? He was in the midst of a great multitude. Praise God. I'm not saying he wasn't great or part of that multitude. I'm just saying he came in from whatever's going on in his life. and testified of what I'm reading here today, of what can happen when we behold and look and see a great multitude. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And that greatness bleeds off unto the multitude that he has saved and rescued. God's people are a great people. That's why when it's church time, you ought to be with God's people. Turn that tube off and go to church. Hallelujah. Am I too loud? Which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. God can save anybody. He does. He saves everybody and anybody. Stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." We're not talking about two people in the Godhead. We're saying that no man can come unto the Father but by me. We're able to give God thanks today because of Calvary, the throne of the Lamb. Praise God. Anything associated with the Lamb represents the shed blood of Christ and our access to the Father. That's proper teaching of this epistle. All this other stupid stuff is stupid. And it will not leave you with the feeling of great. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not exalting us. It's not a pride statement. I'm saying great is the Lord. I'm saying God said in his word, this multitude that I've redeemed is great. Yes. Hallelujah. If you have a complex problem about yourself, you ought to get your face out of those dumb novels and get it in the word. If that's what you read. If whatever your eyes are attached to that's making you feel like that you're not a part of a great multitude. Mighty in praise. Mighty in worship. Mighty in the word. Mighty in prayer. Conquering people. Whatever it is that you're feasting on, get away from it quick. And get your eyes in a place where you can behold something that's great. That can influence your negative, downcast mindset. Hallelujah. Why do you think David encouraged himself? Because he was in the midst of a multitude that wasn't so great at the moment. And he said, I got to access great. If he had a smartphone, you know, I got to access great. I got to peel myself away from what they want to do to me, and I got to access great. Bring me the ephod. Hallelujah. What was he saying? I need to pray. I need to get out of this state I'm in. I need to get out of this frame of mind I'm in. And the only thing that can do it is prayer and inquiring of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will lift up my eyes. That's what he was doing, Sister Heather, unto the hills. Because he knew that from the hills is going to come my conquering answer. Not a sympathetic Savior that will just sit down beside me and say, I know everything's bad. No, a Savior that'll open the door and put his hand on my chest and push me back and say, go shave, go clean up, put your suit on. We're going to go find some people and pray. I love it. It was just the Lord stepping into that dark situation and saying, come on, let's go do some conquering. Hallelujah. Let's go throw some stones. Yeah. Only God could do that when you don't see how, when you're so down in the dumps and he can just walk in and just say, come on, get up. Come on, get up. I know you don't see what I see yet, but get up. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Get up, shave, clean up, encourage up. Let's go pray. Hallelujah. 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 And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the four elders and the elders and the beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worship God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might and unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence did they come? Who are these people? Isn't it amazing? Wouldn't it be so pathetic if you'd walk out the door on a Monday morning just feeling all, and yet an angel from glory would bump a sinner on the street and say, hey, who is that? Simply because he wants to reveal to that sinner on the street who you are. And there you are. Oh, how am I going to make it? Oh, God. I'm not saying you do that. But if you do it, I'm sure God would appreciate it if you'd stop. I'm sending angels to minister unto you and talk about you. I'm looking to flatter you. Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? One of my kids. Job knew he was one of God's kids. That's why he said, I'm not bound and I'm not cursing God. You speak like a foolish woman. You curse God and die. I'm not. I know I'm going to serve God. I know I'm going to see God in the middle of this. What was he doing? He was making a conscious decision. I am going to get through this. I'm going to conquer this. I am not going to be anxious for anything. I'm going to go to God in prayer. Oh, that my words were now written in a book. Thousands of years ago, the Lord said, fine, it'll be in a book. Because he said, I'm going to conquer. I know my Redeemer lives. See, that's you get that when you get back to the prayer room. You lose that if you walk away from the prayer. And you walk away from that fervent, effectual, fervent prayer. You lose that something in your spirit that says, I know my Redeemer lives. And though life's trying to shake me, I will not be shaken from the foundation that I am embedded in, because I know my foundation liveth. Hallelujah. My foundation will never be moved. Though the earth be removed, my foundation, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Amen. He said, sir, you know who they are. He said, I do, so let me tell you. That's how that's just the way God is. He's like, you look kind of down today. So here, come up, sit up beside me. Let me talk to you about these people. You know who they are? I have no idea who they are. Well, let me tell you. These are they which came out of great tribulation. See, you come out because you want to come out. You don't come out because you were dragged out. You come out because you made a choice to be, as he said in Romans 8, more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And that's the attitude God wants you to have, even though you might go to the prayer room vexed, disturbed, disheartened. Life has done what life has done. God, at least go to the prayer room acknowledging who you are and who your God is. That's a good start, isn't it? Instead of going there and sucking your thumb and putting the baby binky in the mouth and act like you're teething, feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, that's all human nature, and I'm not picking on any one of us because we've all done it. But I tell you what, the prayer time becomes more effectual when you acknowledge him, as it's written in Proverbs, right? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, even if all of your ways aren't so good. In them, acknowledge him. If they're bad, acknowledge him. He's not bad. But the faster we acknowledge him and acknowledge us, the faster we'll get to a more effectual, fervent time of prayer and time of victory and time of conquering. These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's what that white robe represents. It's righteousness. It's us clean from our evil. And that is why we preach so heavily and so strongly. Repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, which is a must. It's an absolute must. I don't care how much you've accepted Christ as Savior. That's wonderful. That's good. Keep doing it. But if you deny him, and you deny being buried with him and having your soul washed, then you don't accept him as much as you say you do. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him night and day. Revelation 12. I'm going to quickly move through this. I've been long enough. Hallelujah. And I want to read thank you, Jesus. Let me see where I'd like to start. Hallelujah. All right, let's start verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and kingdom, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Some people just worry so much about him. Oh, the devil, oh, the devil. What about him? Oh, the devil, he don't need your praise. He don't need your song and dance either. The accuser's been cast down. Why are you weeping and worrying and toying over something cast out and cast down? Reserved in everlasting chains in darkness. That is why in prophecy it is written that when those who lift up their eyes in hell, they'll behold him and say, is this he which troubleth the nations? This thing was the one that deceived the whole world? This? I listened to that? So many, oh, the devil. I tell you, the devil. Look, you need to change your song, change your tune, and change your vocabulary a little. Stop whining about a prisoner. And start being concerned about praising the one who has delivered you from your prison. Hallelujah. Who sets captives free? I need to worry about who sets captives free, not who wants to bind them up and make them captives. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're reading here that I heard a loud voice saying, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, watch, verse 11, overcame him. They overcame him. Praise God. Not defeated by him. Not, oh God. No, they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And let me be as bold as to say this, that when we have been washed from our sins in his name by his blood, that's how we overcome him. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil. He came to, by his shedding of blood, to destroy the works of the devil. To separate us from sin. That's what he was talking about when he said, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. He came to loose us and to free us from the great transgression and give us opportunity to escape the great tribulation of this world. It's more than just a troubling time coming upon the world. The world has had a lot of troubling times, but when you escape the world of sin, when you escape darkness and you come into his marvelous light, you have departed from a great tribulation and have entered into an awesome, great, mighty kingdom. Isn't that right? Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And that's why so many can be affected by your praise. Both saints and people of God and those who are not are so moved by this great multitude because we've been delivered. And because there's a spirit of conquering in our midst. And I'm finishing. And this is what I was trying to get to in relation to. I'll read that verse in Romans 8 as we close here. And they overcame him. They weren't overcome by him. John said in 1 John 2, my little children, you have overcome the wicked one. You've overcome that spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist is not some dude over in the Himalayas waiting to come out in some secret time frame to say, I am God. No, it's a spirit of error. John said to the people, you've overcome that. And I'm just here to tell you today, or ask you today, are you an overcomer? Are you a conqueror? Are you an overcomer? Then pray like one. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Worship like one. You're not a hypocrite when the chips are down, but you worship God anyhow. You're just somebody that's saying like Job, I know my Redeemer lives. I may look bad. I may not be recognizable to my own brethren. The children may sing a song against me because I look so bad. Everything might be just completely 180 from what it was for me. But I'm a child of God, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I can't let the troubles of life turn me around. I'm headed for heaven. I've got a home that's eternal, where I'll put on a white robe and a shiny new crown. Hallelujah. That's the attitude of an overcomer. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And finally, I'll turn to Romans 8. One of the reasons why we have a reminder of this from the Word of God is because our outcome, the outcomes of life that we could have, sometimes we forfeit because we, at that hour, have chosen not to overcome. What would have happened to Sister Brenda? Think about it. We have a testimony of a Dr. Joseph Barnett in Arkansas, walking into the room and saying, a higher power has stepped into this room. We would not have such a testimony that still sends chills up and down your spine. All these years later, had it not been for somebody who realized in everything. Yes, thank you. I forget sometimes. I have to go back and listen. It's been too long. Robinette, Joseph Robinette, yes. Had we not decided, I'm gonna conquer and go to prayer with the attitude that was coming from God that says, look, the outcome can be different here if you just get up and pray. And I believe it's the Lord. It's the Lord that has showed us in examples we've talked about over and over again that says, this is what prayer means to me. We have to stop defining prayer by our traditions that we are raised in, you know. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'll quote that till the day I die. I'll even quote Hail Mary, full of grace. I said it so many times growing up in Catholicism and being taught in catechism classes and performing masses as an altar boy and just being there because we went like once a week just from Catholic school, the whole school when we did. I know that prayer, even though it's not a prayer. And Mary would never, she's not a goddess and all of that junk, but I know it so well. But that's not prayer. Hallelujah. Thank God for prayer. And that's what God is saying to us. And I'm closing, so let's stand. So I'll just tell the truth, not have to repent. Like one preacher said, the mind can only absorb, but the seed can endure. When you've had a long week, I told Brother Justin a few minutes ago, I feel how you look. I'm not trying to make him feel bad. I just understand perfectly. A long week and lots of stuff. I'm right there with you. Go home, fill my gub. Then, gone. All you got to do is sit down and it just stops, right? That's it. Just hit you like a freight train. But hear how what's being said. All I'm here to drive home today is be anxious for nothing. It's God's way of saying, don't you approach the throne of grace in some sort of frail, unsure, you know, squeamish type of way. You come to prayer rolling up your sleeves, ready to knock some giants out. That's what the Lord say. Let God define what prayer is. And that's what my point was before. See, we get raised with traditions that sometimes we carry over and don't realize we're doing it because we want to be devotional and pray. God's saying, that's not prayer. Don't give me that. You don't need that. That's not going to help you right now. And when tomorrow's disaster hits and your kid's in the hospital, you're going to need something beyond that. So I finish with this. Thank you for listening. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay! I can hear it like Paul. Nay! No way! In all these things we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. If some of us had half that list, we'd be like, oh God. Yeah. Paul saying, I'm persuaded none of these things shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. Let's love him. Let's just give him thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Before you leave, let me just add this, okay? I know you don't care, so I'll stop saying it. Prayer, remember what the scripture says and don't ignore it. In everything, by prayer and supplication. So some things to you might be small, but they throw you out of loop. God's saying, pray about it. But I need results in this area of my life. Or someone needs results. Or this needs to happen. That needs to happen. Right. God's saying, go to it in prayer. The battle is the Lord's. You're involved, but the battle, the outcome is the Lord's. David by himself, look, the reason why the scripture emphasizes that sling and stone is to show you the might of God, not David, and not how accurate he was. That he could, you know, hit a gnat from 50 feet away. He's just so good. No, it's to show the praises of God, that God, the battle is the Lord's. David slew the giant with a sling and a stone. It was God's way of making the sling and the stone insignificant. And God's ability to solve the issue, very significant. And that's what God is saying. He's saying you'd have a lot more outcomes if you'd spend more time in prayer going after them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, bless every soul. Help us have a great week. Help us be conquerors in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.